Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this Utica, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter. We will read verses 20 through 33. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33, where we read in the name of our Lord. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world shall be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this great gift. And we pray, Father, this day that you would remind us of this wonderful invitation of the gospel, that you call and summon all. And that hearing your voice, Father, so we would come and receive that marvelous grace that you have promised. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When you come to this text in John, you understand that there's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a lot of things happening at this point of coming to the Passover feast and everything that's going on, what's going on in Jerusalem, and Jesus is coming towards the end of his earthly sojourn. And all of these things are happening in this kind of, they're snowballing, they're kind of growing to this point where we're going to come to this grand denouement, you know, we're going to have this great end of all of this that comes in. And it's remarkable to read this text and to understand, and it's probably a little harder for us to understand. It's hard to really find a good metaphor for this or some way to explain this. But the text is pointing out that these people are not the normal people that would show up for this. They're kind of like outsiders people. And that's why they're identified this way as being Greeks. You know, they're not the ethnic group of people that you would expect to be here at the Passover. You know, they're not by birth Jewish people, likely. So they're people that have come into this from the northern area, which interestingly enough is the place where Jesus was raised. And so it's fascinating that when they come in here, they're amongst those, of course, now they have probably become Jewish people, or they're God-fearers, or something along this line. So they're here for the Passover, and they're going to observe this. And it's interesting what they do is that they go to talk to Philip. And John does a wonderful job of explaining this. You know, this isn't our geography, but if you understand this, what he's saying is these people came from exactly the same place that Philip did. So they came looking for Philip. Philip was from the north country. Philip is somebody they can identify with. Philip's somebody that they can relate to. So they come and they talk to Philip. And of course, the fascinating thing is that what they say is that, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And of course, again, you know, this is something that kind of can escape us to understand that, well, they're from the North Country and Jesus was raised in the North Country. So they want to get a chance to see this guy who kind of like is pretty famous now. And so they want to talk to him. They want to be able to see Jesus. They want to have this type of conversation with him. They want to figure out what's going on in relationship to this. And it's interesting that Philip doesn't really know what to do with this. You know, do you just let these people come in? You know, is that okay? And this is what I want you to understand. This is precisely the nature that we possess as human beings. We're suspicious. We're suspicious of everything. We're suspicious of everybody. We're suspicious of every motivation. We're suspicious of everything. We always kind of wonder, is it okay? And especially if people are outside of our ethnic group or they're outside of our background or some other sort of thing like that. And then we allow these feelings to like overcome us. And it's one of the weirdest things about dealing with like a COVID pandemic. Because now the COVID pandemic kind of brings you to this point where it makes it okay to be that way. You know, to a certain degree, well, how do I know if that guy over there is sick, you know? So I don't know if I want to be around that guy. I don't know about any of these sort of things. And we come down to this point where it's very difficult. And this is exactly what was happening here. Philip didn't know. Well, do I bring these guys in and just let them talk to Jesus? So he goes to Andrew, who also is from there. And what's interesting about this is Philip and Andrew are both Greek names. So we understand right away that they come out of Greek background. So it's these guys that they go to, and then the two of them together bring these guys to Jesus. And that's really the setup here, is to understand, well, this is what was going on. You have these guys that are strangers. They're outsiders. They're not the normal people that you have come to the Passover. They're not like that. They're northerners. And they're kind of going to be on the periphery of all of this. You know, these aren't really the people that you really want here. And what's fascinating about this is when they bring these guys to Jesus, Jesus doesn't bat an eye about any of this. He says very clearly to understand that now. He answers and says, the hour is here. He says, the time has come. And this, of course, is really the message to understand. He says, now is the time of the universal redemption. Now is the time that you're no longer going to be identified by your ethnicity. You're not going to be identified by the people group that you belong to. You're not going to be identified by the people that you grew up with anymore. You're not going to be identified with any of these things that we think are so important to us. He says, now is the hour. He says, this is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And that's one of the easiest things to miss in this. What he's talking about is the restoration of humanity. That now humanity is to be restored to whatever it was before. As best we can understand, at the time of Adam and Eve, before the fall, he's talking about now is the time for everything to be restored. He says, now is the time. Now is the time for the universality of the race of the fallen Adam to be restored. That now there's not going to be a distinction any longer between Jew and Greek. There's not going to be a distinction any longer between different ethnic groups. He says there's not going to be a distinction any longer between people according to gender or any other thing, as is brought out in the scripture. That's exactly what St. Paul says. That once this time has come, everything changes. Everything changes. And that's precisely why Jesus said what he said. He said, there's Greeks, these northern people. They've come down for the feast. That's the sign. Now is the time. It says, now is the time. Their arrival indicates very clearly that this is it. And that's why he says, most certainly I am saying to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, he says, then it remains alone. What he's talking about is to understand, if I'm only the product of one people group, and that's all I do is I lay down my life in that regard, he says, then it just becomes empty. It just becomes a lonely act. He says, that's all that is. He says, but if it goes into the ground and dies, then it produces a multitude of fruit. And this is what he was talking about. With this aspect, it bears a multitude of fruit. That now, there would be no limit to this. That now the power of God would be known to all people everywhere. That now the power of God would be experienced by everyone. That now there would be no more pedigree necessary to come to any feast. That now none of that would be necessary. All that would be necessary is to come, to come, to come. And this is the beautiful and grand invitation of God. God simply says, come. Says, come. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care if you're up, down. I don't care anything. He says, just come. Just come. And that's why when you read this text, you understand that there's a certain joy here for Jesus. Jesus isn't concerned about this happening. He's concerned about the fact that now is the time, that now is the time for this to take place. And he says, as a matter of fact, it's the person who loves their own life. He says, they're going to lose it. He says, but the person who is willing to lay down their life, he says, that person will maintain that life. They will watch over that life for eternity, he says. They will have life everlasting. And this is where he comes to his disciples. And he says, basically, he says, if anyone serves me, he says, if anyone waits on me, literally is the Greek word, says, if anyone waits on me, he says, then you have to follow me. Now, you understand who he's talking to here. He's got a bunch of strict little Jewish boys that were raised in following their own little group of people. Jesus turns around and says to them, if you're going to actually serve me, then you're going to have to follow me. And he says, because where I am, he says, that's where the one who serves me will be. You see, the reality of things is that this brings us to this place of recognizing, of realizing, this is our calling in the world. This is what we have been summoned to do. We have been summoned to go out into the world and be like Jesus. We've been summoned, and we've been summoned to bring this wonderful message that we ourselves have responded to. We've heard the invitation, and we have come, and we have received the invitation, and we have accepted the invitation, and we realize that this is his calling, this is his gracious gift to us. So we recognize right away, and we realize the nature of the power of this gospel. But he says, if you're actually going to serve me, he says, then you got to do it with everybody else. You got to receive everybody else. Everybody else. And then he says, because the one who serves me, He says, my Father will honor. He says, my Father is very, very aware of all of these things. And he says, and he's going to honor whoever serves me. And then he adds, he says, now, he says, my inner being, literally, is kind of the meaning of this term, is agitated. He says it's agitated. He says, and what am I supposed to say? He says, Father, save me from this hour, another deliver me from this time. He says, no. He says, this is precisely the reason why I'm here. He says, for this hour is why I'm here. He says, Father, glorify your name. He says, you manifest what you do in the way that you do, and you use me to make that manifestation known to humankind. And we understand. We get to cheat. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about his death on the cross. We recognize right away, this is what he's talking about. He says, should I be concerned about this thing? No. He says, I'm not concerned about this thing. He says, that's not what is disturbing me. He says, what's disturbing me is to understand very clearly that this is the thing that you need to realize, that we are here in order to glorify God. We're here to give this witness to God. And this is all that Jesus cares about, is that that witness to his Father is born to people, that this reality would become their reality. And so there's a voice that comes from heaven. And some people say that's thunder because they couldn't hear it, in other words. And other people say it must be an angel talking to them because it sounded like another language or whatever. And we understand right away, it was the voice of God the Father. That God the Father is with him and watching over him. And God simply tells him, I've glorified it. And as a matter of fact, I will glorify it again. This is precisely the point. And that's why Jesus says, this voice didn't come from me. He says, I already know what I'm doing here. He says, the voice came for you. He says, so that you would understand that this is what your Father, who is in heaven, is doing now. And this is what I'm here for. He says, now. And this may be about the most important word in this text. He says, now. Is, and you get to this word again, archon, which is like a leader, a ruler. He says, now is the ruler of this world thrown out. He says, now, now. Now, I want you to recognize very clearly, there's a lot of people that run around saying that this is some sort of future event. It is not a future event. Jesus says very clearly, it's now, now, now. He says, now is he thrown out. And all you got to do is read Revelation 12. You can understand exactly what he's talking about here. What he's saying is that very clearly, Satan no longer has the ability to bring an accusation against the people of God. He says, now, from this time forward, he says, that is not going to be the case. So that you understand that now, he says, this is what is in place. He says, and then he follows it up by simply saying, and if I am, and this Greek word means made high, if I'm made high from the earth, he says, all people, I will pull toward me. Great Greek word, ekliso. Hekliso, it means to drag something, to drag it. He says, if I am lifted up from the earth, if I am raised up, he says, I will drag all of humankind to me. I will pull it. So what part of all is not in all? I always ask my seminary students that. What part of all is not in all? If he says all, he means all. And now you understand. Now he just answered the question the Greeks had. We want to see Jesus. Jesus says, oh yeah, you'll see me. He says, you'll see me, all right. He says, you will see me lifted up on a cross. And when you see me lifted up on a cross, you will see your Passover. You will see your redemption. When you see me lifted up, you will see your salvation. When you see this take place, you will know, because this is now for you. It's for you who are Greeks. It's for you who are Jewish people. It's for you, no matter what you are. This is for you. I will drag you all. I will bring you in. Now, it's interesting. Every time that he uses this illustration from fishing, what do? They bring in the nets. And you know what that word is for when they bring in the nets? The same one he uses here, to drag in the nets. He says, I will drag them. I will bring them. I will pull them in. And this is precisely the point. There is no one on the face of this earth who is unworthy of the salvation of God. There is no one on the face of this earth that God is not willing to call and summon. And it is our privilege to have this opportunity to bring them all in. That's precisely the point. They are all worthy of this salvation. And that's why this made him happy. Because this is what he wanted to do, as the book of Hebrews says. It was for the joy that was set before him that he went to the cross. Well, what was the joy that was set before him? Well, that's easy. Us. It was the joy of saving us. That was what brought him to the cross. That we would understand this. And John fills in nice narration, and he tells us, he said this to signify, or to sign, literally, what type of death he was about to die. From the cross. Stretched out. Pulling us to him. Wanting us to see him. Wanting us to recognize he's there for us. St. Augustine once was asked about the whole question of predestination. And the guy was very concerned about the whole issue. Could he be saved? Augustine took him into a place where there was a nice crucifix. And he showed the guy the crucifix. And he said, do you believe that man who's hanging on that cross hung there for you? And the guy said, yes. Augustine said, then you're predestined. If you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ has drawn you. He has dragged you. He has pulled you. But he's doing that for everybody. This understanding of predestination we've got is just totally screwy. God is not interested in sorting people out. God is summoning them, everyone. The net is full. It is so full that it will break, just like he showed the disciples. If we do not drag it to the shore, if we do not do that, if we don't take the gospel seriously, And this is really what he's saying, so that every person would come to Jesus Christ and find rest and peace and find that salvation, find that eternal joy, find that life that is eternal. Find it and live there. It's one of the greatest things. He says, find it and live there. Live there. Understand. The cross is for you. My death is for you. My resurrection is for you. But not just you, everybody. It's for everybody. So just like these Greeks, you come. He says, you come. He says, you come. You just freely come. You freely come. You're invited. You never have to question whether you're invited. Never have to ask, am I invited? Can I be one of them? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, as a matter of fact. The answer is yes. As a matter of fact, not only is it yes, but you are one of them. This is our place in the world. It's to be found in Jesus Christ. To live and walk in newness of life. To understand the power of that message and to bring peace to the world. To bring this understanding so that people find this rest. That they find this place of rest. Because the world is not a place of rest. The world beats you up. The world does kind of what it's supposed to do. It does that. Because it has no rest. But Jesus cast out the ruler of this world in order to bring us rest. And this is precisely the message of the gospel. The gospel is a message of love. Helmut Thielicke says, in this man, God became a lovable object, referring to Jesus. Before, everybody was scared. I mean, he's scared of living bejeebers out of people. You know, he said, if I'm on the mountain, don't even touch it. You know, even if one of your livestock touches it, they'll die. Thielicke says, in this man, God became lovable. He made himself lovable. So not only could he be approached, that he would be approached. That we would now be able to come to him freely. And how would he receive us? That he would receive us as his very own children. That he would take us up and hold us in his arms. That he would bless us and that he would renew us. That he would give us that hope of everlasting life, that it would now be dwelling in us, and this is the way that we would live, that we would live in peace in this world. Not always looking, well, did I mess up? Well, I think you're human. You know, there's a good chance. Can you mess up and still be a Christian? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what happens when you mess up? You run to your Father. That's exactly the point. You run to your Father. You run to him. And what does he do? Receives you. He receives you. I told you this before. My dad told me when I was a kid. He said, Jay, you're my son. He says, you are not going to be perfect. Not a chance. If you ever find yourself in trouble, he says, you come to me. You come to me. There's one thing I can understand. It's the ability to mess up. You just come to me. God says, you come to me. God says, you come to me. You come to me. Because I will keep you, and I will watch over you, and I will preserve you because I love you. The cross is for you. Your peace is found there. Your rescue is there. And your life now is forever. It's forever. And this is the privilege that we have in this world. As the followers of Jesus Christ, we're sent out to simply bring that message. That's all. We are not the judges of the world. This thing has happened in the church where we've become like judges of people. We are not the judges of the world. We're not. Because actually, none of us has any basis to judge anybody on. None of us has a closet that's locked so tight that those skeletons can't fall out. So we don't judge. We don't judge. We beckon. Come. You know, one of my favorite things is people will say to me, well, you know, why would I want to go to their church? It's full of hypocrites. And I tell them, yeah, you know, but there's room for one more. The reality of things is we beckon. We beckon. Just come. Just come. Because God receives. He receives. He blesses. He restores. He gives peace in the face of uncertainty. And he gives life and salvation to all who will come. And it's this peace that the scripture speaks about, that is to fill our hearts, that we have that peace, that we have that joy, that we have that hope. So in day in and day out, when we find the hopeless situations, we recognize very clearly there is no such thing. There is only a place of hope. There's only the risen Son of the living God and the power of his Holy Spirit living within us that testifies that we are his offspring. That we cannot be shaken. That our life is a given. And we wait together with him until the day of that final glorious revelation when everything else is laid to rest. And we simply see him face to face. And on that day, the glory of God will be revealed in its fullness to us. And we will see him. We will see him face to face. And he will say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you." And we will understand in fullness the joy of eternity and life everlasting. All for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your gracious gospel, for the power of that message that strengthens us day by day. That, Father, even when we are facing tremendous adversity, that, Father, that our eyes would not be on that circumstance, but rather on you through your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Father, that you would remind us that from everything you will deliver us, that you will always bring us through, that you will always bless us and sustain us, and you will always receive us as your own. So we pray, Father, this day that you would quicken us by your sacrament, enable us to be able to see and to know the reality of your gospel. Feed us and strengthen us, Father, until that day when we partake of the Paschal banquet face to face with you. Glorify your name, Father, even as your Son asked. for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.